प्रतिभा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ सो दिस इवनिंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड कंटेंट्स ऑफ द गीता समराइज्ड। विल बी कवरिंग टेक्स्ट 26 टिल टेक्स्ट 30th। सो विल बी रिसाइटिंग टेक्स्ट 26। अथ चैनम नित्य जातम नित्यं वा मन्यसे मृतम् तथापि त्वं महाबाहो नयनं शोचितुम् अर्हसि। सो वी रीड द ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीले सी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। Translation: If, however, you think that the soul or the symptoms of life is always born and dies forever, you still have no reason to lament, O mighty arm. Purport: There is always a class of philosophers almost akin to the Buddhists who do not believe in the separate existence of the soul beyond the body. When Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, it appears that such philosophers existed and they were known as Lokayatikas and Vaibhashikas. Such philosophers maintain that life symptoms take place at a certain mature condition of material combination. The modern material scientists and materialistic philosophers also think similarly. According to them, the body is a combination of physical elements, and at a certain stage, the life symptoms develop by interaction of the physical and chemical elements. The science of anthropology is based on this philosophy. Currently, many pseudo-religions, now becoming fashionable in America, are also adhering to this philosophy, as well as to the nihilistic non-devotional Buddhist sects. Even if Arjuna did not believe in the existence of soul as in the Vaibhashika philosophy, there would still have been no cause for lamentation. No one laments the loss of a certain bulk of chemicals and stops discharging his prescribed duties. On the other hand, in modern science and scientific warfare, so many tons of chemicals are wasted for achieving victory over the enemy. According to Vaibhashika philosophy, the so-called soul or atma vanishes along with the destruction of the body. So, in any case, whether Arjuna accepted the Vedic conclusion that there is an atomic soul, or he did not believe in the existence of the soul, he had no reason to lament. According to this theory, since there are so many living entities generating out of matter every moment, and so many of them are being vanquished every moment, there is no need to grieve for such incidents. If there were no rebirth for the soul, Arjuna had no reason to be afraid of being affected by sinful reactions due to his killing his grandfather and teacher. But at the same time, Krishna sarcastically addressed Arjuna as Mahabahu, mighty arm, because at least he did not accept the theory of Vaibhashikas, which leaves aside the Vedic wisdom. As a Kshatriya, Arjuna belonged to the Vedic culture, and it behooved him to continue to follow its principles. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. So we are planning to cover 5 verses, an overview, a glance on what Krishna is trying to explain henceforward. Last few days we have been seeing how Krishna, Lord Krishna has been telling Arjuna the science of soul, the science of transmigration, the science of knowing one's real identity. And while telling this philosophy, we saw last few days how Krishna is telling Arjuna about the real identity. A spirit soul, as we saw in the verse, Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jaram. So he convinces Arjuna that, oh Arjuna, why you are lamenting for the happenings in this life? Why you are lamenting for the impending death of the relatives of the near and dear ones? Why you are crying like this, like a child? You are a big kshatriya, you are so powerful. Not only that, you belong to the Aryan family. Aryan family is someone who knows the Vedic wisdom, who knows the value of life. They do not take to such childish nonsense. So Krishna is telling Arjuna like that, that why you are behaving like a small child? You are crying, he says. Such a lamentation does not fit you, because you are a man of knowledge, Aryan. See, this is very interesting. In this world, we will find two kinds of people. Broadly, Krishna divides in Bhagavad Gita in 16th chapter, the whole world in two categories. Very clear. There is no like ambiguity in this regard. Very clear. Either somebody is divine or demoniac. Either somebody is divine or demoniac. Daiva Asura. Dvav Bhuta Sargav Loke Asmin Daiva Asura Evacha. I have created two, there are two kind of created beings in this world. Daiva Asura. And there is only one criteria to distinguish them. He says there is only one criteria, not the 10 points, okay, maybe this point, only one criteria. What is the one criteria? Obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures. Knowing what the scriptures are offering us, the Vedic scriptures have to say. That's very interesting. Knowing the somebody who is obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures, he is divine. And somebody who is not obedient to the regulative principles of scriptures, he is demoniac. So let us go on the street and find out how many people have read the Vedas. Most people are not aware of Vedic wisdom. Most people are not aware of what Vedas have to offer us. So that way we can see where the category fits into according to Krishna's definition. Anyway, here Arjuna is telling, oh my dear, Krishna is telling, oh my dear Arjuna, you are an Aryan, you know Vedic wisdom, why you are talking like a non-Aryan? You are lamenting for what is not worthy of lamentation. He brings into this knowledge that you are spirit soul. But now, there is a turn there, turning point at this point. Krishna is telling you are lamenting Arjuna, although you know Vedic wisdom, but then here he takes a turn. He says, Atha Chainam Nitya Jatam. Atha Chainam. So when we use the word athacha, athacha means there is a turn there. Okay, now we are starting a new subject matter. This is a new subject matter altogether. What is that? Athachainam nityajatam. Till now you were talking that you are not the, you are the soul, not the body. But suppose you are just, your identity is this body, this combination of chemicals. Athachainam nitya jatam nityam va manyase mritam. You think you are not the soul, you are the body. Still, what is the need of lamentation? If you are just made up of this bulk of chemicals, Prabhupada gives the example here, nobody laments for loss of tons of chemicals in the warfare. Does anybody lament? So here, Arjuna, you are lamenting that, oh, my relatives, my brothers, my ancestors, my forefathers, my teachers, they will die on this battlefield. But what death you are talking about? Chemicals will go into chemicals. There is full preservation of matter. Why you are lamenting for that? And he says, tathapi tvam, therefore, tvam mahabaho, you are a mighty arm, nainam shochitum arhasi, you should not lament for a loss of chemicals. So this is very interesting that one has to see how things are happening in this world. Either one is material body or he is soul. What is the cause of lamentation? There is no cause of lamentation in this world. Prabhupada gives an example of so many philosophies, Buddhists, Lokayatikas, Vaibhashikas, so many philosophers are there. And then he says, here very clearly, he says, even the modern material scientists and materialist philosophers, they also think similarly. Isn't it? Who has seen the soul? Why are you talking of the future? Talk of now, the present. Huh? Why you are thinking what will happen in the future? Just think of the present. So here he gives the example of modern material scientists and material philosophers. What is their understanding of truth of life? Body is just a bag of chemicals. So if body is just a bag of chemicals, where is the question of these temporary relationships? Where is the question of these bondages in the material world? Where is the question of such emotional outbursts which Arjuna you are showing? Still there is no cause of lamentation. And then, in the next verse he says, so Krishna is trying to make Arjuna convinced that either case, either you are a soul or you are the body, there is no cause of lamentation. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mritasya cha. He says, one who has taken birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Isn't it? Unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. One who has taken birth is sure to die. One who has, after death, one is sure to take birth again. And then continuing the same theme, he says, avyaktadini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananeva tatra kapari devanam. He says, all beings are unmanifest in the beginning, manifest in the interim state, and unmanifest again when they are annihilated. What does it mean? Suppose you are not the body but spirit soul, so now you have acquired this body. And after death, what is going to happen? You are going to reject this body and take a new body. It is just like change of clothes. Today your old shirt is torn, you remove it and buy a new shirt and just wear it. What is the need of so much lamentation? What is the need of so much botheration about that? You just go to the market, buy a new shirt and wear it. Similarly here he says, avyaktadin, all created beings are unmanifest in the beginning. You never had the body. You acquired a body. And next, after this death, you will give up this body. Just like you had some old clothes, you bought new clothes, and next you will buy again new clothes. That is if you are a soul. If you are not the spirit soul, you are the body, then what? What is body? Just a combination of chemicals. These combination of chemicals came from nature. These combination of chemicals took a beautiful form of different species. For some, it's a dog or a cat or an elephant or a horse or a human being or a cow. And now, after death, what will happen? All these chemicals are going to go back into the chemicals. Why there is lamentation? Avyakt, avyakt adini bhutani. In the beginning, what is there? Avyakt. There is no form. There is no body. Avyakt madhyani bharata. Madhyani, in the middle, what is there? There is form. Huh? Avyakt nidhananeva. At the end, what happened? The form dissolves. Is there any problem with that? Why lamentation for that? So he is dispelling that either there is body or there is no soul. Or there is soul. There is no cause of lamentation. But then he's telling, you are Mahabahu, you are mighty armed, you are a man of great knowledge. Why don't you accept that you are not the body but spirit soul? This, those who think they are the body, they are not the soul, this is low class intelligent. Mahabahu, you are mighty armed. I do not expect such low class philosophy from you. And then, finally he says, next verse, I'll cover the whole series, how it goes. He says, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchidenam. What is the problem in accepting soul? Often the general society is confused. Isn't it? This confusion is there, whether soul is there or not there. Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchidenam. Some look on the soul as amazing. They just can't believe, you know, that how can there is be some entity as spirit soul? Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Jai Shri Gopal ji ki, Jai Shri Tai Gaur Chandra Bhagwan ki, Jai. So the interesting point is, Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchid Enam. Some look on the soul as amazing. What do they find amazing about the soul? It is described that it is the same spirit soul. What is the size of the soul? Described 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair. The tip of the hair, if you divide it into 10,000 parts, then one part of that is the size of the soul. So it says, that size of the soul is giving energy, is energizing, is giving life to all the bodies. Either it is the body of an elephant, a huge elephant, or it is the body of a demigod, or it is the body of a human being, or it is the body of an insignificant small ant. From ant to the biggest, what is happening? The same soul is giving energy. Same soul is giving life. Some look upon the soul as amazing. How is it possible? Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashchidenam. And the next verse says, Ascharyavat Vadati Tathaiva Chanya. And some describe him as amazing. They just can't describe him. They describe, it's amazing. This is an amazing verse. It only talks about amazing, amazing and amazing. The soul look as amazing, description is amazing, the hair of the soul is amazing. Why? It says, some hair of some describe him as amazing. So that's interesting. Prabhupada writes here, men with a poor fund of knowledge and men who are not austere cannot understand the wonders of individual atomic spark of the spirit. They describe the soul as amazing. That's something interesting. There are wonderful pastimes which come in Srimad Bhagavatam. The stories of great kings, the demigods, the great wealthy people. What was their attitude in life? It is described when society at large is madly running, trying to achieve more and more opulences of this world, more and more wealth, more and more opulence, more and more beauty, more and more education, with only one goal in mind, how to solve the problems of life, how to be happy. That is the only goal. And when you tell them about the soul, they find it very amazing. How is it possible? Shrutvapi vad vadati, ascharya vad vadati, tathaiva chanya, ascharyavat chainam anneshrinoti. When you tell them about the soul, they feel, oh, it's amazing. How is it possible? It's a good story, nice first story, but we don't want to accept it. Because it is completely against our plan of life. Our plan of life is how to make, how to satisfy these bodily demands. So Prabhupada writes, men who are not austere, men with a poor fund of knowledge, those who have a very poor fund of knowledge, they are not austere, they cannot understand the wonders of the individual atomic spark of spirit. Even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge. So the story comes of two great, opulent, very youthful, handsome young men. Nalakuvera and Manigriva. The story comes in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nalakuvera and Manigriva are two They are the sons of Kubera. Who is Kubera? The treasurer of demigods. They are the sons of Kubera, the treasurer of demigods. Treasurer. Can you imagine the opulence of such two personalities? Very opulent. They have such great wealth and opulence. And being from such a background, they are getting the association of Lord Shiva. And they are enjoying the great opulence in the river water of Mandakini river. They are enjoying. Very wealthy. Can you imagine how wealthy people, how they live, you know. Practically, they don't have to do any work. Just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy and enjoy. Everything is taken care by the other subordinates. So here is these two people. These two, as they say in Hindi, you know, bade baap ki bigdi aulad. What that phrase? So something like that. So they are big people. They are very opulent. So what happens? Lot of money, bigdi aulad. They get spoiled. What happens? They are enjoying with the young woman there. They are enjoying with the young woman, completely naked, not dressed up, very shamelessly enjoying in the waters of Mandakini river. And as they are enjoying, absorbed in their enjoyment, Narad Muni happens to pass by. Now Narad Muni, as we know, is a transcendental spaceman. He is going all around in all different planets and directions and anywhere and everywhere. Isn't it? So Narad Muni happens to come there. And Narad Muni sees these two people are so absorbed in their trying to enjoy, completely oblivious to what's happening in the surroundings. In fact, when the women see that, they immediately cover up their bodies. But these two, Nala Kuvera and Mani Grieve, they do not even bother to look at him. It is described a man in a mood of passion. He's so overwhelmed by the desire of enjoyment. Lobha, pravrittir, arambha, karmana, ashamaspriya. His unlimited desire to enjoy drives him so mad that drives him completely into the mood of ignorance and he forgets what is going to be the result. He becomes whimsical. He becomes shameless. He doesn't care. Here a great personality has come, instead of feeling ashamed, instead of feeling shameful, they do not even care. They feel why he has come at this time. Why he has to come here at all? Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is coming here and instead of offering respects, bowing down is their head, instead of honoring a great soul's presence, they feel why this person is disturbing us. Narad Muni seeing their whimsical behavior, seeing their such attitude, such shameless attitude, Narad Muni immediately curses them. He says, you fools, you have lost all intelligence. You have lost all the regard for what is your duty. Coming from such a good background, what is your responsibility? Immediately you become trees. You are very interested in exhibiting yourself naked. Immediately become trees. He curses them. And then Narad Muni speaks a beautiful series of verses that how this opulence of this world completely maddens a person. Prabhupada writes here, what is that? Ascharyavad vadati tathaiva chanya shrutve chainam anyashrinoti. Jai Zorinda Sadhana Swami Maharaj ki jai. So, Ascharyavad vadati tathaiva chanya. They just can't understand. Men with poor fund of knowledge and those who are not austere, they can never understand this science. They can never understand the law of transmigration. They can never understand what beholds them in the future. Their only absorption is how to enjoy in the current present. Who has seen the future? What are you talking about this soul? Who has seen what happens after death? Narad Muni says there. The first verse he says, he says, I'll open this very nice, interesting. He says, when a person is completely blinded by the desire to enjoy, poor fund of all knowledge, they are not austere, they are not ready to follow the rules and regulations. They are whimsical, they do not worry what reaction will come in the future. It completely blinds them. They become blind, as if they cannot see what's happening in the future. That's very interesting there. It says, four things in this world are very, very dangerous. Aristocratic birth, education, scholarship, aristocratic birth, opulence, that is education or scholarship, and beauty. These four things completely blind a person. Somebody who is very educated academically, he thinks, why I need? As we see, the whole modern science is preaching, there is no soul. So when one reads Shastras, what is all this nonsense? Since last 18, 20 years, I have been reading, there is no soul. He's so puffed up that he thinks, why I need to hear anyone? They will not accept the soul. They find this amazing. Then we have another category, somebody who is from a very high aristocratic birth. Life is going so fun, so nice. He's enjoying life. He thinks as if eternally he's going to live like this. People are busy building big, big mansions. Prabhupada writes here. Everybody is thinking, I will make big, big mansions. I will create huge enjoyments. And he works hard and hard and hard to amass all the wealth, create mansions, as if eternally he is going to live in that place. Not knowing future, what body holds for him, what body awaits him, what future holds for him. He doesn't know that. Aristocratic birth, completely blinded. Opulence, when gets lot of opulence, he gets blinded. Beauty, that also blinds. One feels as if I am the center of this creation. The whole world is created for my enjoyment. Very dangerous. But Narad Muni says, out of these four, this opulence, when one gets a lot of opulence, that is most dangerous. When one gets opulence of this world, one gets completely blinded. He thinks this is the time to enjoy. Who has seen this soul? What are the sadhus talking about? This is all nonsense. They become whimsical. Like these two sons. They are so absorbed in enjoyment, they do not care a saint has come to give them some good knowledge. Who cares? They have no respect. They are not ready to bow down. So, ascharyavat vadati tathaiva chanyam. Men with poor fund of knowledge, not austere, they are absorbed in sense gratification. They will not pay any attention to it. And then it says beautifully, further, he says, so this opulence is very dangerous. What is the result of this opulence? When one gets this opulence, he gets so addicted to wine, women and gambling. He doesn't even care what scriptures have to offer. Wine, women and gambling. That becomes the goal of his life. Kama upabhoga parma eta vad iti nischita. This life is only for enjoyment. Gratify senses by hook or crook, and that's how you spend your life. Eta vad iti nischita. They have decided this. Wine, women and gambling. They become completely blind to what is the future, what reality offers them. Second thing, he says, they start slaughtering animals. Thinking that, oh, we are the bodies, this body is just meant for enjoyment, completely oblivious to what the science of transmigration has to offer them, they start slaughtering animals. Completely centered around the body. I just want to enjoy now. They don't want to care, you know, what is the future for them. If I slaughter animals, what sinful reactions awake for me? Huh? It is described that this is mamsahar, you know, masa. What is that? Mamsa. What is mamsa? It is described in the scriptures when somebody takes to killing of animals, this mamsa, what is the meaning of this word mamsa? Mamsa means me, right? Mam. And then this describes that how today I am killing this animal for my enjoyment. Today, tomorrow this animal gets the full right in next birth to kill me. I take the birth of the animal and he takes the birth to kill me. Get the equal reaction, mamsa. But completely blind to the reality, they engage in animal slaughter. I was sharing with some devotees few years back, when we were in the medical college and we were taken to some slaughterhouse. There's a big slaughterhouse, you know, in Devanar slaughterhouse in Shivaji Nagar, I think. Big slaughterhouse is there. I think it's the biggest slaughterhouse in Asia. And they took us to the big slaughterhouse and they were teaching us very nicely how to slaughter cows and how to slaughter all kind of animals, right from the cows to all kind of lower animals, how to slaughter. Everything was taught. Of course, being a devotee, I didn't go inside. I said, oh, I don't want to see the sinful activity. So I was waiting there in the bus, waiting for all the other classmates to come out. And two other batchmates, they didn't go inside. So I asked them, why you are not going inside? It's a part of the syllabus. You are not interested in learning. Naturally, they don't have any religion. They are not followers of any religion. So why? I said, I have a religion. I don't want to go inside. They said, no, we don't want to go inside. Because we know if we go inside, what are we going to see? Slaughter of the animals. And once we see the slaughter, we will not be able to eat what we are eating every day. Because we will be aware how painful it is to slaughter animals. So therefore, we don't want to give up our sense gratification. Let them slaughter and let us enjoy. And we will share the reaction. Of course, they didn't say that, but that's what it means. So the point is, these people are so absorbed in sense gratification, they do not mind slaughter of animals. Who cares what future has to offer them? Like that. And then it says that, So Narad Muni is saying these people are so blinded. First of all, they are addicted to wine, women, gambling. And second thing is, when a person gets blinded, he thinks, just slaughter animals and enjoy. I am not slaughtering. Somebody is slaughtering in their slaughterhouse, which is like 50 kilometers away from here. So what is the problem? I am enjoying. I don't see the pain of those animals. Who has seen the future? Just enjoy. So men with poor fund of knowledge who are not austere, they will never understand science of soul. Because they don't want to understand. They want to remain blind to the reality. And then it says, he says, these fools and rascals, this word uses fools and rascals. He says, these people, they are not interested in understanding science of soul. What are they? Fools and rascals. In spite of the reality shown to them, they say, oh no, we don't want to see the reality. So, like that, offering this beautiful Narad Muni tells, so what is the solution? What should we do to such people? When these people do not want to hear what we have to offer them. Narad Muni says further. He says, sometimes we see somebody is a big minister, somebody is a big demigod, somebody is a big man in this earth, somebody is a big leader, somebody is a big star on this planet. So many different identities are visible. And we see those identities as visible. Okay, we have to give respect to this person. He's a big man. Here is the ordinary man who cares for him. Generally, this distinction is there. Isn't it? And then he says, one may be proud of being a minister or a big man or a master of many people or a demigod. What is the future? What does the future hold for you? Beautifully describes here in this verse. Deva samagyitam apiyante krimi vidbhasma samagyitam bhutadruktat krite swartham kim veda nirayoyata. While living, one may be proud of one's body. One is blind to the reality, what future has to offer. Thinking oneself a big man, minister, president or even demigod, whatever one may be, after death, this body will turn into either of the three things. It will either turn into worms. It says, krimi vit bhasma samagitam. It will either turn into worms or stool or into ashes. That's what future has to offer. Like we see, somewhere, some places it is just disposed of. They don't cremate the body. Maybe they bury the body. So what will happen? Worms are going to eat away. Sometimes some religions, they just throw it to the vultures. Right? Okay, we are offering food to the vultures. They are going to eat this body. If you think this body is just a chemical, this body is going to become devoured and is going to become the stool of the animal. Right? Krimi with bhasma. Or somebody may cremate and it's going to turn into ashes. Completely blind to that reality, completely blind to the future, they are so busy enjoying. Bhagavatam says, such a man is fool number one. He has forgotten what is the future holding for them. And then the next verse says, have they ever thought who claims this body finally? They are so busy trying to enjoy this body, thinking this body as their own self. Who is the claimant of this body? Who is the owner of this body? There is the next Narad Muni says. He says, they think they are the enjoyer of the body. Does this body belong to your father? Or does this body belong to your mother? Parents who gave birth? Or does this body belong to the employer under whom you work? He is also demanding so much. Or does this body belong to the son for whom you work so hard maintaining him? Or does this body belong to the fire to whom you are going to offer it after death? To whom does this body belong to? Or does this body belong to the dogs and vultures who are going to eat it after death? Whom does this body belong to? Krimi vid bhasma. Who is the claimant of this body? Whom does this belong to? Narad Muni asks like that. So these people are enjoying so much, completely oblivious to what sinful reactions awaits them if they are not ready to accept this knowledge. Knowledge of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Knowledge of transmigration of soul. Thus, not knowing the future, these people are so... Krishna is telling here. Some hear of him as amazing. When they go to spiritual discourses, they hear. Very nice, good mythology. But nothing enters the consciousness. Nothing transforms the consciousness. So much information, so many stories, so many nice examples, so many nice pastimes. What is the transformation? That is the question there. So Narad Muni says, these two people are so blinded, they are engaged in wine, women, gambling, animal slaughter, not realizing what is their future. They are going to become worms, stool or ashes. With a heavy word, he is thinking, let me curse them. What is the best ointment? These people have become blinded. Shri Madandaha. What is Shri Madandaha? Andha means blind. So they are blinded by opulence. Shri. By intoxication. Mada means intoxication. Madandaha. When somebody is intoxicated by opulence, what is the best ointment? You know, somebody's eyes are affected, you put some ointment for them. So it is described, saintly persons know how to treat the disease. If somebody is blinded, he does not know what scriptures have to offer. Saintly persons know how to treat very nicely. What is the best ointment for this person who is blinded by lot of opulence? Shri Madandaha. He says, these people who are so blinded by the ointment, by this opulence, what is the best ointment for them? It says in this 10th chapter, 13th verse, he says, Asatah Shri Madhandasya Daridriyam Paramanjanam. Daridriyam Paramanjanam. What is the Paramanjanam? The best ointment for them? Daridriyam. Take away all the opulence. Immediately show them that poverty which awakens them to the reality. Let them realize what the reality is. They are thinking they are the supreme controller. Ishvaro aham aham bhogi siddho aham balavan sukhi. I am the Ishwar. I am controller. I am making so many plans. Everything is working as per mind plans. I am so opulent. I am enjoying this material world. I am manipulating the whole material energy. So many people are working under me. I am maintaining this family. I am maintaining this world. I am maintaining this society. Completely under illusion. What one should do? Take away all his opulence. Let him see the pain of others. Let him see how painful it is to inflict pain upon others. It is described, one who has not undergone the pain, cannot understand the pain of others. So person who is very opulent, completely disregarding the rules of transmigration, just like, you know, somebody is a criminal. He is doing so much crime, thinking, I am the enjoyer. I can kill anyone. I can torture anyone. I can steal anybody's wealth. I can do anything as if he is independent. Not realizing the laws of state are strongly controlling him. And as soon as the movement comes, he is caught immediately, is going to be inside the prison. So a living entity also trying to enjoy this world forgets that how the laws of the universal creation are very much applying to every living entity. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of any living entity. You may be whimsical, do anything. The laws of nature are not subservient. As they say in Hindi, you know, they are not your father's servant. They are not subservient. One is going to suffer whatever holds for them. So here it says very nicely, so make them immediately poor. Param anjanam, daridryam param anjanam. That is the only thing. Take away. Let them see what it means, pain in this material world. And then they will wake up and realize that how they were completely blinded. And second benefit which poverty is going to offer them. First thing is they can see what is happening. How others also get pain. They will not be cruel to others. They will not be slaughtering animals. How it is so painful when you are helpless. Poverty means helplessness. Good condition. And then he says, when they become poor, what will happen? They will become respectful to the sadhus. They will be ready to hear the philosophy. This is an interesting point. They will become respectful to the sadhus. Prabhupada writes there that he says, not offering any respect to the sadhus, these people are completely absorbed. He just does not welcome. He says, saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires. Prabhupada writes here, sadhus want to preach both to poor and rich. Not that we are interested in rich people or poor people. When we all go to preach, there is no distinction for everyone. But the point is, it says, sadhus want to preach to both poor and rich. But the poor take more advantage of the sadhus preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances, tries to take advantage of their presence. Whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter his house. So sadhus who are traveling all over the world trying to preach, but a rich man keeps a greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter his house. He posts a sign saying, beware of dog, and thus he avoids the association of saintly persons. Whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them, and thus benefits by their association more than a rich man does. So Narad Muni says, therefore, the best treatment for them is become poor immediately. And understand what it means to be miserable. Understand the importance of the words of saintly people and come out of the blindness. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita says that Ascharyavat Paschati Kaschidenam Ascharyavat Vadati Tathaiva Chanyam Shritva Penyam Vedan Nachayava Kaschit. In spite of hearing about the soul, they cannot understand. So then who can understand about the soul? Who can understand the science of Bhagavad Gita? Who can see the soul? Who can open his eyes? Who can see what is happening in this world? Vimudha nanu paschanti, paschanti jnana chakshusha. One who is fool, he has no knowledge, he cannot see what's happening. Like criminal is completely oblivious to the laws of state. Fool number one, he doesn't know what punishment awaits him. Similarly, a living entity, he does not know what future holds for him. Shrutva penam vedan nachayva kaschit. They will never understand soul. Always confused. So then who can understand soul? He says, finally, to conclude with, the easiest process for understanding the subject matter of self, however, is to accept the statements of Bhagavad Gita spoken by the greatest authority. First thing is accept the statements of Bhagavad Gita. Then, first is one has to become submissive. Hear what is Bhagavad Gita has to say. But it also requires a great deal of penance and sacrifice, either in this life or in the previous ones, before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It takes lot of tapasya. Those people for whom sense gratification is the only goal, they will never open their eyes to understand this science. But it requires a great deal of penance and sacrifice before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, Krishna can be known as such by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee. So first thing it says, accepts the statement of Bhagavad Gita. Second thing, Prabhupada says, it requires a great deal of penance and austerity and sacrifice, either in this life or in the previous one. And finally he says, it requires the causeless mercy of a pure devotee to understand the science of soul. So we see these two young men, Nala Kubera and Marigir, completely blinded, not interested. But who enlightens them? Narad Muni. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. So many souls are transmigrating from one species to another species to another species, sometimes going to demigods, sometimes becoming ants. Brahmanda Brahmite, like we have, Bombay Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavana Jiva. We are sitting here, few of us, in this Bombay Brahmite. Like we have that Bombay tourist guide, you know. New tourist comes to Bombay, so they have their Hare Krishna temple there. So some of the tourists go to Hare Krishna temple as a tourist, you know. They have tourist bus. They go to Gateway of India, they go to all the places, you know. Museums and aquariums and Astral World and what not, Elephanta caves and this caves and that things. And then they come to Hare Krishna temple. Bombay Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva. Somebody who is fortunate, he comes to Hare Krishna temple. And then out of so many people who came, few happened to hear some philosophy. Few happened to get in touch with Prabhupada's books. And then very few understand. So Bombay Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva, some rare fortunate soul, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. He understands what is his real identity. Otherwise, blinded by, as these two young men, completely blinded, they are not interested in what Narad Muni has to say. The causeless mercy of Narad Muni. So therefore, finally, the last verse says, Dehi Nityam Avadyayam, Dehe Sarvasya Bharata. Therefore, Arjuna, the final conclusion is, like a good boy, understand this philosophy that you are not the body but spirit soul. And stop lamenting like a small child and do your prescribed duties. Tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam shochitam arasi. We should not grieve for any living entity. Somebody lives, somebody dies. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, heat, cold. Just go on with your prescribed duties and attain the perfection of human life. I'd like to end here. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Any question, anybody? One question if somebody has, we can take. Otherwise, close. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.